A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're still not afraid to catch feels, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Jim Campbell's opposite me.
Howdy.
Petey Donaldson.
You said poppers at me.
Yeah.
I'm having it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We've beaten the beast from the east.
We have, we're still here.
And everyone's bestie from the westie, Jim Campbell's looking radiant.
Hi.
You all right, mate?
I feel radiant.
It's all warm. Right. It's all right in London, Marcus, but remember, in Scotland, the northeast and northwest, it's still a little snowy, all right? So have some respect for people elsewhere in the UK and further afield.
And when he means northeast and northwest, he doesn't mean like Cockfosters and Rickmansworth.
Mm.
He means the north, east and west of England.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't speak on behalf of
anyone.
The whole of the United Kingdom. I said the four.
Well, hang on a minute. If that's not the... You don't?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You told me you were the mayor of the UK and you said no one can dethrone you.
I would...
Debag him.
I was in Eastbourne on the weekend. Lovely time. There's not a drop of snow down there.
No.
Mm. I mean,
on the coast, isn't it?
Practically in your castle, isn't it, that?
Which is surprising, though, because I know they've had snow in Kent and snow in Hampshire, so it's surprising it's missed out a bit of... is it East Sussex or West Sussex? East Sussex, I think.
One of them.
Yeah.
Does it just not snow wherever you are because you're the King of Surrey?
Yeah, he melts it all. He cuts through it.
With his radiant.
I was worried
it
I was
very much
get...
snowy in London when I was here.
I was worried I was going to get sunburnt because of the sun coming out and reflecting off the snow. Because my skin is that pale.
I was après ski. I was drinking schnapps all weekend.
Whee!
Yeah, well, you'd be doing that anyway.
I know. Somebody, John, our good friend John, posted a picture of this new drink in Russia. That's pure vodka in a can, but it's carbonated vodka.
Wow.
Now, there's all those sensations, like liquor-wise. I would be happy to try and just... Well, I'd be happy to try any liquor.
I'll try it,
really. But... Yeah. I'm fascinated about what the tongue feel is on that.
I can imagine it's like that bit in The Simpsons where Abe Simpson has a taste of Buzz Cola and it basically burns his mouth.
Well, people say that if they give up sugar for a decent amount of time or whatever, then when they take a little bit of sugar, it's mind-blowing.
Oh, really?
Should we talk about football?
Orgasmic.
Yeah. Indeed. Swansea City, they were orgasmic, weren't they?
Oh, there we go.
Well, it's not
quite
down
describe
there.
It like that.
Marcus just sits there poised, ready for a... I'll take that as a link. Yeah, they were very good. What do we think of the new kid on the block, if you like? The heavily personality-driven Carlos Carvajal.
Enjoying it.
Rock and ruddy roll.
I love it. You can actually poke him and say, go on, be weird. Gary Lineker went,
pull his little string.
Do something weird. Be weird. And he just did.
He just did it. It's like up. Pete, isn't it? It's
no, like, yeah, just wind him up and watch him go. Yeah.
Aren't we get on?
Yeah, you would. Would
swinging fizzy vodka.
Yeah.
Lovely old job.
Gary Lineker enjoyed saying his full name, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did.
Carlos blah, 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 Carvial.
Is it because Gary Lineker speaks a bit of Spanish, so he thinks he can get involved?
And Spanish is very good, I think.
Yeah, no, but he's just trying to lord it up on national TV in front of the country.
He's just saying a man's name, isn't he? Gary's name isn't in a different language.
Gary Lineker has seen the personality. The personality stakes raised by old Carlos, and he thought, I'm going to have a go.
Get a bit, I'll grab on the coattail. You are right, but Gary, and I don't mind Gary at all, but he does love to roll out the Spanish when he gets an opportunity, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I think Marcus.
There's nothing wrong with,
well,
nothing
I'm
wrong
about
that.
To big you up, so. Yeah. When Marcus inevitably gets the Match of the Day gig, I don't think there'll be that much arrogance. I think he'll bring it back. I think he'll bring it back to be in the show about the people for the people.
I'll bring it back down to the trenches.
You never see Gary do any Japanese when he talks about the Japanese football.
No,
well, when we get the first Japanese manager, maybe he will.
No, because it's much harder.
We've had somebody though come from Japan.
Yeah,
we have. And we may talk about him in a moment.
You know, this Swansea win, fantastic win for them, and it almost gets to the point, and this is a huge compliment to Swansea, it gets to the point that this is what we expect of them now under Carvial, because they've almost essentially jumped their way up into mid-table almost now, because it's so truncated down there. But I'm interested in what this means for West Ham, because there was almost around sort of Christmas and New Year time, there was a feeling that Moyes was starting his tenure so well that it was like, oh yeah, they'll be fine now because Moyes is a good operator and he's back, and you know that Sunderland and Man United thing was a bit of an aberration, and it's going to be fine. It's not fine, is it?
No. I think this,
because that's the second 4-0 defeat, 4-1 defeat in a row.
It's happening again, David.
Yeah.
If you weren't properly listening, this could sound like a compliment, but the thing with West Ham is that they can concede every type of goal.
Yeah,
I mean they really do, because if you look at the stats in that game, sort of like, you know, shots fired. Corners, possession, everything was actually quite close, but Swansea won 4-1 because West Ham will just gift you goals.
David Moyes was very annoyed in his post-match interview. He started talking about the set-piece goals they conceded, which I can imagine would be annoying for a manager like Moyes, because they're the things you feel like they're easily avoidable.
He can do the basics.
Yeah,
that's
what he should be able to do. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the penalty was one of the clumsiest penalties I've ever seen. He might as well have like knocked a pan of boiling water on him. Like, just got his feet caught up and decked him.
Yeah. Rolled a big boulder at the centre.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great win for Swansea because they lost 4-1 to Brighton the other game, I think their last league game.
Yeah.
And then to get straight back on the wagon and win 4-1, to go on the front foot so readily after that defeat, it shows you perhaps the personality of Carvial, that he can pick up the players and say, right, come on. And they've only lost once in their past in the past 13 matches in all competitions. And before Carvial took over, they earned 13 points from 20 matches. They've won 14 points from 8 matches since he's been there. It shows you the impact. I mean, we've talked about the impact before, but that, for me, it was the bouncing back.
Absolutely, because, I mean, when it's that tight, confidence is such a sort of, you know, kind of precarious thing.
Oh, yeah.
When it's so, so tight down there. I mean, West Ham themselves are still only sort of 3 points above the relegation zone, and they're up in 14th. You know, we've been saying this all season. This doesn't seem to be changing, does it? It's like there's not really anyone pulling away, which is interesting.
Yeah,
you have to just keep fighting and bouncing back.
Of course. I mean, obviously, you know, tactics, organisation and all the rest of it come into play. But when you look at a lot of those teams down there, there's not a huge difference in the quality of the squads. There's maybe not too many teams where you're looking at them and saying, well, for crying out loud, they should be challenging for the Europa League. They shouldn't be languishing down there. But confidence is such a crucial thing.
Well, and beating Liverpool 1-0 in January probably helped as well.
Of course, yeah. But it's those kind of, you're absolutely right, those kind of results. I mean, keeping a clean sheet against Liverpool, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know, Carvey out, that's something to hang your hat on. Mm. You can say, we did that. Build on those little victories, and it's those little milestones.
Carvial is a good example of how it's important to match the right manager with the team.
Yeah.
Because I remember when he took the job, I remember thinking, I think he will improve them, but I don't know if he'd improve them enough. Now, obviously, I was wrong there because he's improved them a great deal. But this is a guy who couldn't quite, I know he was unlucky, I know he came very close, but couldn't quite achieve his ambition for Sheffield Wednesday. Yet people raised their eyebrows when he was appointed as a Premier League manager. But it's about the match. And a great example on the other end of the scale about the match is perhaps Sam Allardyce and Everton. It's a terrible fit. And Marcus, you said last week about how their shortlist or the managers they went to before they went to Allardyce, doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
And what we've seen with Allardyce, I don't know if we're going to talk about him later, but if we do, what we've seen is a systematic reduction of expectations in quite a masterful way by a manager who isn't equipped to be able to compete or have enough fresh ideas to move a team who've spent an awful lot of money into the upper echelons. It's almost a complete polar opposite to what Carvial's done at Swansea.
Yeah, and if you take the example of Crystal Palace, they tried Frank de Boer, didn't they, after Allardyce himself. Mm. Now, de Boer had time to start off the season, so they obviously fancied trying a different approach. And when it became abundantly clear very, very early on that that wasn't going to happen, then they turned to someone like Roy Hodgson.
Safe pair of hands, because they almost thought they get scared, don't they?
Yeah. But also, you can understand. Well, because if there's only a certain amount of managers available, you need to get in somebody quite quickly who knows the league. I think for someone like Crystal Palace, it's a little bit different to, say, Everton, for example, because you wouldn't imagine Everton would be fighting relegation, whereas Palace are down there, and they haven't played Manchester United at the time of recording. But going back to the Swans and West Ham, they're both on 30 points. David Moyes says that they need three more wins, and that should be enough to keep West Ham in the Premier League. But where will they get them? They play Burnley and Southampton at home next. And it'll be interesting how West Ham respond, because they had a nice thing going with Arnautovic and Chicharito, and Arnautovic particularly was playing well. Now, this could just be a little blip, and maybe they'll be okay. But
they've got some tough games, Marcus.
They do have some tough games, and you do worry for them.
I'm not saying that is the case, what Moyes has said, and 39 points will do it for them. But if we assume it is, then there's a lot of pressure on the next game at home to Burnley, and Burnley have been decent away from home this season. There's a lot of pressure on the home game against Stoke and the home game against Southampton, because a lot of the other ones are very, very tough. Man United at home, Chelsea away, Arsenal away, Manchester City at home. They've got a lot of tough games.
They do, yeah.
But you
Man United at home?
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe that's the exception that proves the rule. But there is definitely a situation in the Premier League this season where every manager, with the exception of Pardew, will possibly be thinking, there's a lot of other bad teams around. We might be all right on that basis alone.
Mm. True. And Carvial, this is the man who has stitched on the inside of his matchday jacket, "Carlos had a dream."
See, is that okay, or is that a bit David Brent?
Well, I think I think when he had that stitched in, he was from quite humble background in Portugal and so on, and a dream to kind of get as a work in football and a football manager. I mean, it is a bit David Brent. There's no doubt about it.
A song that Sheffield Wednesday fans sang?
Oh, is that what it is?
I think that might be the case.
Oh, okay. The article I was reading, they did
a brand more than anything else.
It could be Peter.
Maybe it's just coincidental Portuguese menswear brand.
Or maybe it was a present.
I bought a pair. I bought a three-piece suit from Korea, and the brand was Butts.
Nice.
B-U-T-Z.
But nice. You've got a monogrammed suit jacket. Not monogrammed, a message stitched into the back of a suit jacket, because I've seen it.
Yeah, it says, "This is Peter's jacket."
Yeah.
If you can read this, you're too close.
And you know what? People would think the fact that Donaldson having "This is Pete's jacket" stitched into a suit jacket would say that it's just a hands-off for other people. It's not. It's just to remind Pete that that's his own jacket. Because at 3 a.m, things can look a little bit askew.
Yes.
Can I also say, I do understand, based on what we said earlier about Lineker speaking Spanish, I understand that Carvalho is Portuguese, not Spanish. I was saying that he likes to show off with his languages, not that he can speak Portuguese as well, because as far as I understand, he can't.
Okay, there we are.
just fending off Twitter. And
yeah, you do this show.
Mate, don't worry about it. The email box is already just flooded with emails.
It's been slagging me off.
Yeah, about five, because it's been 5 minutes since you made the mistake, so it's fine.
Slagging me off.
But you do think foreign languages are daft, don't you?
Waste of time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's for people who haven't got anything interesting to say in English. So they just want to show off of other languages. What's the point?
Oh, there we are. And Brighton did their survival hopes the world of good with a win against Arsenal. Glenn Murray with another goal. Should he be considered for the England jet?
No, Marcus.
Luke Moore.
If he were a centre-back...
Yes.
I would say yeah.
With
or
that
a keeper,
heading ability.
Or a keeper.
If he's 34 and he plays for unfashionable Brighton, if he played for more fashionable Chelsea, he'd be on that plane guaranteed.
And no, Glenn, going to Russia for a month doesn't make you a non-dom. It was a fantastic win for Brighton. And you know what? I know we're going to turn this all into all about Arsenal, because we're arguably witnessing the fall of an empire in front of our very eyes.
An empire?
Well, it is an empire, isn't it? A dynasty.
A vampire.
A dynasty.
A very modest empire.
Yeah, maybe. But I think that any team, with the exception, and Jim may disagree with this and that, but that'd be fine, but any team with the exception of Stoke and West Brom would have smelt blood to such an extent with Arsenal in this game, especially being at home, that they would have beaten them.
Don't disagree at all. you could see on the players' faces as they left the tunnel that they were nervous. They didn't look up for it. You could, before a ball had been kicked, you could see that their heads weren't right.
2 years ago, that would have been a nailed on Arsenal win for me, because they do, you know,
because it's just what they need, right?
Yeah. But they just to kind of paper over the cracks a little bit. But no, geez.
Pete, you're absolutely right. And I don't know if I said it last week, or I definitely thought it last week. I thought in days gone by, this is exactly what Arsenal need. A trip away out of London, way out away from home.
Promoted team.
And you think, Pete, you're absolutely right. They won that about 3-0. I don't know. What are you worried about?
I don't know if I said it, but I definitely thought it, that Brighton would win 2-1.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. I heard you think it.
That's the old telepathy for you.
Something incredibly characteristic of Arsenal's play, and obviously we should talk about Brighton as well, is it seems like whenever an Arsenal player's on the ball, they're surrounded by players trying to run through a sea of legs and just sort of overrunning it and then give the ball away cheaply. And I think it's because in general they've become very bad at sort of creating and exploiting space just as a team, and that is one of the basic fundamental principles of the game. It is a simple game at its essence, and Arsenal seem to have lost any sort of flow or rhythm that just, you know, allows their passing game to actually work. It's so frustrating to watch.
And it is frustrating, particularly in that, if you think, and you watch Arsenal closer than me, so I've got no reason to believe that that's not true, and if that is the case, they've got Ozil and Mkhitaryan, to use the German parlance, Pete, they've got two round deuters in there already.
Space invaders.
Space investigators.
Oh, space investigators.
Yeah. So if they can't do it, you wonder who would better do it. Yeah. But it's not great.
That is a fair point, because if, you know, the movement off the ball was very poor. I mean, it was worse than the England national team.
None of them know what the other one's going to do.
Yeah, well, so when you've got someone like Mesut Ozil in there, who can find space, who's looking for players to find that space, is you just find a little bit of space and they'll thread it through. Now, I'm not saying Ozil's perfect or anything, but you wonder how long, realistically, he's going to stick around. Now, maybe he likes having quite a nice...
Who's this, sorry?
Ozil.
Well, he's signed a new deal.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So maybe he likes having a nice kind of relaxed time under Wenger, I don't know. But I would have thought that a player like him would be so frustrated playing for Arsenal, because you want players in front of you finding the space and so you can thread it through, and you make them look good, they make you look good.
Well, the noise coming out of the dressing room in that sort of leaked report a little while ago was that Laurent Koscielny was basically in tears because his kids are asking him why Arsenal were so terrible.
Yeah,
and like, the squad are hurting. They're not just sort of picking up their paycheck and sort of like thinking, ah, it's all right, this is fine. Obviously, they're in the doldrums. Koscielny's been in the press today saying, obviously, confidence is at an all-time low. But I think, you know, so many sticks have been used to beat Arsenal within the past, which is that, you know, the manager's passed it, the players aren't working hard enough, the transfer policy doesn't work, the board don't care. And I think this season has been, it's been all of those factors have absolutely been the case. And this is the worst Arsenal team I can remember since I remember watching football, even pre-Wenger.
Well, they did finish, I mean, 12th or 13th one year, I think it was under George Graham.
Well, that was a long, long time ago, and I don't remember it clearly.
Okay.
The Ozil, it's Jim's memory, Marcus.
Yeah,
Stay out of it. The assessment of the Ozil situation, as far as I understand it, is that he waited around trying to get a move. No one would take him for the wages he wanted, and then Arsenal offered him as close to the wages.
I see that deal as being just a stepping stone to China, to be honest. I think it's just play at the top level for another couple of years or another year and a half, and then take the big move. Well, nobody wanted him.
That's what's interesting, isn't it? If you would wonder who would come along and pay those wages for him.
Well, no one. That's why he's there still. And he's not been very good since he signed it.
I wouldn't say he's not been very good. He's been one of the sort of the better players, but that's in heavy quotation
marks. Well, I don't think he's been the
marks problem.
I think,
no,
you
certainly
know,
not.
Czech made, you know, not very good. Yeah. He made a couple of errors,
Mustafi's
really.
Mustafi's
a shadow of who he was.
It all points to the manager. The manager can...
Of course,
If you're shelling out hundreds of millions of pounds for a squad of players... The manager needs to get the best out of it.
That's
what the problem always comes down to.
How many off the field wranglings or whatever you want to say did Aubameyang have at Borussia Dortmund, especially towards the end? He's still putting in performances. He was still scoring a few goals.
Well, to be fair to him, his goal was excellent yesterday, and I think he only really had one other chance, which he took fairly well.
His shoulders looked sunk for that shot,
wasn't it? Really?
Oh, no, I'm not. Again, not blaming him. It's this whole feeling around the club.
I thought Brighton were. I think Brighton could have been a lot worse and still got the same result, to be honest. I thought they were really good. They stretched the play. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of chances where they were offside that I thought was marginal, to be honest, and I thought they could have possibly had another goal in there.
Well, they're up to 7 points clear of the relegation zone at the time of recording, because, as I say, Palace haven't played.
And that's an important thing to point out, because Chris Hughton's done an absolutely fantastic job. I think they've lost 3 games at home in all competitions all season, And Chris Hughton is a manager who has a reputation as someone who's a bit hit and miss, who maybe isn't quite cut out for the top level, and all the rest of it. And I don't know if I agree with that, because if you look at his comparison, I know we've got a few games left, and the table is the way it is, and it could go either way for them because of how competitive it, well, not competitive, it's down the bottom. But Brighton could feasibly finish in, I think, in about eighth. I mean, a very, very big push. If they carry on, they could finish seventh.
Top half, certainly. Okay.
And look at the comparison between that and the job Eddie Howe's done at Bournemouth. Mm. Eddie Howe and Bournemouth finished, what did they finish, ninth last season?
Possibly.
Yeah, so Brighton are only one position below them. Mm. And people don't talk about Chris Hughton in the same way they talk about Eddie Howe. Eddie Howe enjoys a fantastic reputation.
It's the second time he's...
Brighton are actually 2 points above. Oh, two teams above them.
Yeah, I'm talking about Bournemouth finishing ninth last season.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's the second time he's brought a team into the Premier League and done all right with it. I was dead against, for obvious reasons, who came in after him, him leaving at Newcastle, because I thought he'd give the fans some decent performances.
So I'm interested in the comparison between the reputation they both enjoy, even though Hughton's had more jobs and is probably... I'm not denigrating what Eddie Howe's done, but Chris Hughton's more experienced and had more jobs. Mm. And yet he doesn't enjoy anywhere near the reputation that Eddie Howe does. Maybe after this season, if they kick on, maybe he will.
I'm thinking future England manager.
Possibly.
Like quiet men.
Although he may
who
prefer,
don't kick up a fuss.
He may, yeah, indeed, but he may prefer to manage Ireland, of course, which is the country he played for.
Mm.
But yes, Arsenal have lost 10 league matches this season, though. One more than Burnley, the same as Leicester, and one less than Brighton themselves and Southampton.
Yeah.
Their trousers are off. Or their shirts are off. I don't know. The Wenger
everything's
quote
off.
Was, he's not dressed. Wenger, this
he's,
is not
I think
nice
he's
to
just
see.
Seen, I think he's seen with Carvajal what's popular. And he's went, I'll just say some batshit stuff and see how it goes.
What do we think of Thierry Henry when it was mentioned to him that if the Arsenal job was offered in his direction, he said, well, I'll never back down from a challenge.
Yeah, he also made it very clear that he would only consider it if he was offered it or if the club wanted it. But, he, reading between the lines.
Well, I
wouldn't say no if it came along.
I think good for him for saying he wouldn't back away from a challenge.
Yeah.
But I think Arsenal would be crazy to hire
him. That's the last thing Arsenal need now. They need a really steady pair of hands if indeed Wenger goes in the summer. I'd be amazed if I would genuinely still be surprised if he does, because whenever he's asked about his future, he always says, I'll remind you that I always honour my contracts. It's like, that is not why people are asking this question.
No.
They're not asking you if you're going to be leaving Arsenal in the
I always honour my contracts. Yeah, you've been in charge of Arsenal for 20 years, mate.
And also, as we mentioned a week or two ago, it essentially lies a huge amount of arrogance from Wenger that it's always his decision.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've had a contract at jobs before. It doesn't mean I haven't been fired. I haven't been fired, but you could be fired at any time.
No other club in the world operates like that. Now, I was watching the game yesterday and I just took some notes for the show, as I'm sure all of you do, and I've forgotten I'd written this, but I've written down, if I can just prove that Arsene Wenger is the Zodiac killer, because I don't know if there's really any other way of him leaving.
There's no other way of going.
That's true. That's very true. Burnley finally got a win. They'd gone 12 games without one, but they've got one.
Enter Allardyce's Everton.
Yes.
To happily a blow.
Well, you need a win, do you?
Yeah.
Burnley hadn't... They'd lost in all their previous 53 Premier League games after they'd gone behind.
Yeah.
Right.
So again, doubly bad for Everton, really. Well, if you take the lead against Burnley, you should be able to see that out. That statistic is
saying. Stinker, aren't they?
Yeah. But they're on 40 points. Burnley have done it. And to be fair,
they're going
to
win the league.
I know they went a lot of games without a win, but for a club like Burnley, let's not forget. Let's not be often. Football fans and people in football can be a little bit short or lacking of memory. This is Burnley Football Club, without being patronising. To get 40 points in March is great for them.
And to be honest, the shit show that's happening at the bottom of the Premier League, it's nice to be out of it.
They're away.
Nice to be away.
I think they've just been watching that from a distance.
just seven clubs all on the same slip and slide, just kind of falling over a game of
on the Everton,
oily twister.
On the Everton side, it's almost like, it follows up to what we were talking about earlier with Carvajal and Swansea. We all agreed at the time, and I think it probably, we'll never know now, but we probably had a good chance of being okay at England under Allardyce. I think that would have been a nice fit for the type of manager he is. However, Everton, it's an absolute disaster. I said it at the start, I'll say it again now. A systematic reduction of expectation.
Allardyce would have been well up for the England job. He was well up for the England job. Yeah. He was as pleased as punch. But now, I think he's just kind of like... should I take another job?
Well, that's it. The problem is he's still up for the England job. Do you know what I mean? That would, he saw that as his peak and he would probably retire after that. And he feels like that's been taken away from him. And obviously he's understandably upset about that. And this just feels like him going through the motions, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, he said himself, you know, he said it's drifting. It's already drifting. It's been drifting for some considerable time.
Yeah. But that last...
be drifting. Your drift were... Okay.
Yeah.
I think...
Megamix.
Yeah.
You drive bunny, mate.
Any other drifties, welcome. Did you catch the drift there, ladies and gentlemen? When he says it's been drifting for some considerable time, again, it's a bit like Pardew. Oh, well, it was obviously like this before I came here and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's your job to fix it. You're hired under the auspices of fucking fixing it.
Well, didn't Koeman get them a seventh place finish? I mean, it's not been drifting for that long this season.
I said it a while back. It's the most expensively assembled squad that Allardyce would have worked with and probably the most talented as well. And for them to go and turn in performances like that Arsenal 5-1, which wasn't that long ago, and they were terrible against Watford. They didn't really show anything. They were on that four-game streak where they lost four games in a row and they didn't win in seven. It's like Everton fans do deserve better than this.
Mm. Yeah.
They really do.
And remember, Big Sam kind of strong-armed them into giving him a slightly longer contract as well.
He
wasn't going to be given one until the end of the season. But
I bet he literally was 18 did that. Months, like, arm wrestle me. If I win, I get a longer contract.
Now,
the stats are unbelievable. They're 20th in the league for shots on target, chances created, and chances created from open play. And they're actually 19th for shots faced. So that just gives the impression of this big bogged down midfield, which pretty much, you know,
that's what they're paid for.
To reason, doesn't it? That's what it looks like.
Oh. Bodies. Lots of bodies. Yeah.
Spare a thought for Davy Klaassen. Mm. That's all I'm saying. Right, we're going to talk about Manchester City and Chelsea after this.
You get one of them nice big juicy worms hanging out your mouth just on the edge there.
There's the man himself.
Dirty boy. What a dirty boy.
What a dirty boy with 40 points.
Treats himself to a worm for every point they got in the Premier League.
Spaghetti worms.
Yeah.
Worms and meatballs.
Worm bolognese.
Oh, but before we talk about Manchester City versus Chelsea, let's go to the emails with PTD.
Yeah, just a quick couple, to be honest, Marcus, because we have got an email special later on this week, so look out for that. Keith from Texas says, hey, gents, not sure if you got up on this on the Brit broadcast, but the US broadcast of the Liverpool-Newcastle game delivered my highlight of the weekend. Peter Drury commented that Rafa was putting on another layer against the cold, wise man that he is. Cut to two shirtless Newcastle fans making V signs and shouting indiscriminately. Peter Drury then says, and those are Geordies.
Very good.
Thank you, Keith from Texas. Also, Chris in Auckland. Afternoon from New Zealand, lads. My highlight of the week has undoubtedly been Garth Crooks making VAR sound like an irrational cult. For over 100 years, the referee's opinion has been final. With the aid of technology, the FA and now FIFA, from what I understand, are about to bow to science and an element of public pressure and spit on the game's roots and most sacrosanct tradition by introducing this technological evil.
Who said that?
Might I say, you've got the depression. You've got the cadence.
I've got right in there. So I've got a few things to say about this.
Yeah. Bow to science. Yeah.
They're going to be officious.
Yeah. The sacrosanct tradition by introducing this technological evil.
Yeah, that's quite good.
Yeah.
That is quite good. You've got to lean forward in your chair more, though, and hold your pen in between your fingers.
I've got for no reason. Just make funny noises.
Someone sat next to you on the sofa has got to start stopping trying to laugh.
You've got to look like you're going to explode at any moment.
Trevor Sinclair's rolling his eyes, going, for fuck's sake. There he goes again.
Come on, Garth. How does he keep getting this contract?
If you want to get in touch with the show, shortthefootballramble.com is the way to do it.
Lovely.
And the Football Ramble Shredder, our email, sometimes email special, is out later in the week, right?
So
people who've got their emails on the Shredder, are their emails of better quality than the ones on the main show or worse quality?
Well, what I would say is...
How do you rank them?
Look at the title.
Yeah, okay, right, okay, fair enough.
Look at the title of the show.
Yeah, fair enough.
Nice to have someone from Auckland. Email.
Always nice.
LA face with an Auckland booty.
I know, straight after Chris Wood getting a winning goal in the Premier League.
That's why we included it.
Damn right. Manchester City... It was a very comfortable 1-0 win against Chelsea.
Wasn't it?
It's a strange one. It wasn't more, but they became the first team since Opta records began in 2003 to complete 900 or more passes in a Premier League match. I mean, that tells its own story, doesn't it? And I think most of those 900 passes were between, was it David Silva and Zinchenko down that left side?
Let's get the stats up.
It genuinely felt like that at times, didn't it?
Like when you're playing FIFA on that mode where you're one player. And you've got to try and complete passes to get your objective. Yeah. It was like that.
There was a point where it almost looked like the game had glitched And it was just two players sort of like knocking it back but between each other.
Can I offer a potentially contrarian viewpoint here? Just because I am surprised that it's not been mentioned somewhere else. So people shared that little clip of Chelsea standing off City and letting him have the ball. And I'll be interested particularly what you think about this, Marcus, because we've discussed this before.
Mm. And I love passing.
Well, people are using that as an example of how Chelsea players have down tools and aren't following Conte's instructions. Whereas I actually watched it thinking they're doing exactly what Conte's asked them to do. Mm, yeah. And they're following instructions to the letter because Conte's decided, rightly or wrongly, and I guess possibly wrongly because they lost the game, Conte's decided if you push and press, you might break their lines and you might break their rhythm, but there's a very, very good chance you're going to get battered here. And you're going to get absolutely knackered while you're doing it.
There was actually a point where they very, very briefly did push up and immediately Edison set off a counter-attack. Mm. Like that, I mean, that is how vulnerable.
So do you understand my point about
absolutely? I mean, it looked like if you didn't perhaps understand how football worked, you would look at that and think maybe Conte had set up for them to lose 1-0. You know what I mean? It very much felt like once they went behind, they didn't change anything about their game plan at all. Eden Hazard barely touched the ball, and he came off saying, you know, in a game like that, you feel like you've run, but not like you've played football.
Yeah, Hazard was very critical of.
His comments were interesting.
Well, the thing is, if you're going to play like they did,
you don't pick Hazard.
Yeah, I thought they might go for Morata or Giroud. I mean, I know Giroud came on, didn't he? But I mean, the game was lost by then. But you're right. I think that when they went 1-0 down, maybe there was a kind of, Manchester City might not push for that second goal. And if we just camp in our own box, very deep in our own half, then maybe we might be able to hit them on the break because they'll, you know, lull them into a false sense of security or whatever. I just think it was the lack of attacking intent from Chelsea.
I think growing up, certainly younger consumers of football, just a bit surprised at Chelsea. Like, Chelsea are one of the biggest teams in the world. Why are they not
having a goal? They're the champions.
Just to follow up what Marcus was saying, I think if you're going to play that way, if you're going to have a pair of balls to let your team do that in front of the world's TV cameras, then you play Giroud. Just play Giroud and use him as an outball. Giroud's a good target man. I mean, he's got his flaws, but he can hold the ball up well. Don't play Hazard.
But the way they played against Manchester United, now I know it's a different proposition, but the way Willian and Hazard were breaking. Now, again, they're not going to get as much time and much of the ball. But why would you play Hazard with probably, well, maybe not his back to goal, because
he needs to have the ball at feet.
Whereas when you want Hazard getting the ball, the out ball from Drinkwater or whoever it is, to not just hoof it up the pitch, because Manchester City will deal with that all day long. You know, even a ball over the top in between the centre half and the keeper, Edison's there to clear. Yeah. They've got no shortcomings really, or too many. So I don't know why he did that. But it was, I mean, they had 29% possession. I mean, the possession stats varied slightly, but they were very low, Chelsea's possession stats. They failed to register a shot on target. Yeah. Gary Neville said they were embarrassing. Jamie Redknapp said of Chelsea's defensive approach, it was a crime against football. That's strong.
Yeah,
that is strong.
But I think they have got to be consistent because they levelled a lot of criticism at Rafa Benitez's Newcastle United earlier in the season in the same sort of way. I wonder if his underpinning of this is the fact that a lot of the vocal criticism about this will be because Chelsea fans don't really like there's a new moneyed kid on the block now, and they're no longer what they were a few years ago.
But they've lost 4 out of 5 in the last league. But generally speaking, so that's going to piss them off.
Well, of course. But the other thing about it is that talking about playing Giroud instead of Hazard and the different way they could approach the game, Mourinho at Chelsea in his first spell would have won that game 1-0. And they'd have played exactly the way Conte wanted to play, but they've done it a lot better.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's weird. You look at it and think, perhaps has Conte got an eye on the game against Barcelona? Just doesn't.
It's not for another week, though, is it?
Well, even so, though, but it's that idea of absolutely knackering yourselves out. And also, does he really care? I mean, he's going to be gone in the summer, isn't he? We all know that. Does he care? He just doesn't want to get battered.
He should care because they need. I mean, it's probably minimum requirement for them these days to get in the top four, and that's not. I mean, they're out of the top four at the moment.
For them, yeah, but is it for him if he's not going to be there?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I understand what
he should care, but as Jim says, does he really? No. And that is a question that we can't.
But the Hazard quote was fascinating. Yeah, I mean, we could have played on for 3 hours, and I wouldn't have touched the ball. It only got better at the end of the game.
I tell you what,
I would like to go to Real Madrid.
Has Conte's got the job there? Is he? Oh, that's a shame.
All right, Barcelona. Yeah. Zinchenko could have been sent off.
Yeah, he was very lucky there.
You think? You think he should have been sent off?
It's one of those ones.
If that happened to a Manchester City player,
he didn't connect as badly as you see. But that's not the point, is it? It's still a reckless and dangerous challenge. You certainly see that.
Can I just also say, because I forgot to say this earlier, that Kolasinac should have walked as well against Brighton.
Yes, yeah, that was. That's where you wonder if he is half trained. Yeah. That sort of.
Yeah. I thought the Zinchenko thing was unfortunate. I wasn't absolutely screwing that he didn't get a red for that. I understand the yellow personally.
Bernardo Silva didn't feature too much earlier on in the season, but has done as the season's gone on. But there's a man who's influencing games and obviously got a crucial goal there, the only goal. Quite an unorthodox finish, but pleasing, though. I think was it a shinner?
It was a shinner.
Yeah, it's so lovely, isn't it? At Manchester City, they're such a talented player, such a great score, and they win the game by a shinner.
I'll tell you what I loved about it is when the attack's coming down the other flank, that is a dictionary definition of what you do when you're playing on the opposite flank. Mm. Arrive late, come flying in. Yep. You know 9 times out of 10 you're not going to get the ball.
Get something on it.
Yeah, but you do. It's fantastic. And he started off being picked when a player was out injured, didn't he?
Yeah.
He wasn't in the first 11 with those front six, but when a player was injured or suspended or not available, he would slot in there. And he's almost just forced his way,
isn't he? He's waited. Yeah. Well, and he struck.
You wonder, because it did seem a little bit strange that Bernardo Silva wasn't starting many games at the start of the season. Perhaps this was Guardiola's plan all along, to just have one of those attacking options.
Possibly.
Sort of. I think his plan was later to freshen it all up.
Plan was just they got loads of other really good players.
And let's get some more whenever we can.
And we could only play 11.
But I think you might be onto something there. I mean, Sterling was blisteringly good and has been all season, really, but especially at the start of the season, he was almost like their main man.
Yeah.
Now, he's taken a step back for, you know, maybe one or two reasons, but Guardiola can have the luxury of rotating the squad, of making everybody feel kind of included, that team spirit that you foster, if you have that team spirit. But that team spirit lives in the tension of people fighting for places, and he seems to have nailed that. Mm-hmm. And if you can nail that, then you're away. Doesn't matter which position, you know, how good your team is and so on. That is such a big plus.
Speaking of, like, weird finishes, I thought Aubameyang's kind of relaxed, kind of stroking into the back of the net was quite cool. It's I just suppose I'll put that in.
If this is the body language we use, then I guess I'll have to score like this.
He also looked really pleased with himself, which is fair enough because he scored, but it's a bit like, get the ball.
Get the ball, mate. Yeah.
Well, he probably thought, oh, we'll get back into this now, and everyone else was like, no,
you won't. You haven't been here for very long, mate.
What, you think this is Arsenal 2013?
Your chance with Arsenal. Yeah. We've moved on. We're at Manchester City. David Silva was in very good form again. And it's so funny with David Silva because you could almost not forget him, of course, because he's one of the best players in the league and has been for a fair few years now. But at the age of 32, he still looks as good as ever. Mm.
Well, this is it, isn't it? I was talking about this at the weekend when I was watching the game. The thing with City now, you know, is players coming into that team. You look at the players that scored in the League Cup final, you know, Aguero, David Silva, Vincent Kompany, obviously got Yaya Toure still there as well. And that shows this is a club that can win stuff, because when those players arrived, that was like Micah Richards and Sean Mike Phillips. You know what I mean? Like you turn up in an environment like that and you know you're one of the big boys now. And City have done that very quickly.
Has Yaya Toure been as influential this season as David Silva?
Perhaps not this
season.
It's
a farewell tour.
It is
a farewell tour.
Indeed, yeah.
Sit on the bench having a lovely time.
But with Silva, though, it wouldn't have been ridiculous to think that he might have moved on maybe a couple of seasons ago when Man City were, I don't know about transitional period, but they were probably just waiting around for Guardiola to show
people
up.
People said the same about Aguero, didn't they?
They did, yeah. But my goodness, you know.
He's hung around and good for him.
He's a Premier League great.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about Santi Cazorla and David Silva having a little hug. That's very emotional.
Well,
beautiful pictures.
It involves David Silva, so now's your chance.
Yeah. Go on, Pete.
David Silva had a hug with Santi Cazorla.
Did you enjoy it?
Very much so.
It was beautiful.
I had a bit of a hangover and I felt a bit sad.
Did you get a bit weepy?
I get a bit weepy. Yeah.
Were you looking at the screen going, I love you guys?
Conte on a story was quite a lovely.
That was very sad.
Obviously, an incredibly strange situation for any club to have to deal with. But obviously, Conte worked with him for the national team as well.
I think we'll cover a bit of him on the continent on Wednesday. Tragic.
But worth a mention, definitely. Manchester City need 4 more league wins to be champions. Their next Prem matches are Stoke away, Everton away, Manchester United at home, and then Spurs at Wembley. They could win it at Wembley. That would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Will they make 100?
Will they make? Well, I'd imagine they would. But of course, if results go their way, they could win it against Manchester United at home.
Oh, could you imagine take it at the swamp. It.
Mourinho would have
at Old Trafford, or at City.
They won.
Oh, that'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Mourinho would have to bring out a range of cookbooks to distract you.
I've lopped off an arm.
This might be a nice time to launch my acting career with my good friend Bruce Willis.
Hello, I'm Jose Mourinho. I've wet myself. Talk about that.
No, he'd be mates with Depardieu, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
Depardieu.
Well, I thought you meant Depardieu.
Depardieu, yeah.
Alan Depardieu.
Alan Depardieu.
Mourinho's going to be on Russia Today.
Yeah.
He's signed up. Punditing there.
There you go.
Signed up.
Excellent.
Good.
Match made in heaven. Let's move on to the Championship. After losing 5 league matches in a row, Birmingham City have sacked poor old Steve Cottrell.
Who could have seen this coming? 5 months ago when he was appointed? Oh, everyone. Everyone all over the world who's ever been on nodding terms with a fucking Shoot 5 football in their back garden. That's who. Everyone. The answer is everyone, Marcus.
Remind me why you dislike Cottrell so much.
He's rubbish. He's absolutely rubbish.
What do you think of him as a man?
It was fantastic. I don't know him, but
I actually met him. He seemed like a nice guy.
Fantastic on Five Live after the game when someone asked him a fairly innocent question, which was an innocent as far as this is the game we're in, right?
Yeah.
You're a manager. Yeah. You're not winning the games. It's perfectly reasonable for a reporter to ask you a question about your job because you're terrible at it. Yeah. Right? And the interviewer asked him, I don't know who it was, and he went absolutely crazy saying that oh, if you think that watching that game that my players aren't playing for me, you're in a dream world, all this other stuff.
Do the accent.
Sacked in about an hour. after that. Anyway, if you think my... No, I can't do it.
If you think we're losing games, you're out for fun.
That's good. That's better than me. Yeah.
It's basically Ian Holloway. Yeah. Just do that.
Since Birmingham got rid of Gary Rowett, they've been an absolute an endless nightmare.
That's pleased you, hasn't it?
It's pleased me that he's out of a job because Birmingham are a proud club that deserve better, but they need to learn their lesson. If you are gonna sack Gary Rowett for essentially a name manager who can't manage, and then compound the error by hiring Harry Redknapp, who's completely shot to bits, when he goes, hiring his useless assistant, what do you expect to get?
If you're going to make me put money down, 50 quid for Lee Clark to go to Birmingham as the manager, and then him not go to Birmingham as the manager, the curse of Donaldson, that's all I'm saying.
Is that right? So you're responsible for it?
I'm responsible for it all.
So we've got Redknapp, and then Steve Cottrell. Is Kevin Bond up next? Can we see Joe Jordan?
Bondy's agreed to give Gary Monk a lift to work.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, of course, Gary Monk has replaced him, which looks better. If you're a Birmingham City fan, you'd think, better.
Better.
Much better. But yeah, they're currently in the bottom three, the lowest scoring side in the division with 23 goals in 35 league games.
The thing that frustrates me about it, want to labour a point, is that how many rocks exactly must you have in your head to hire Steve Cottrell? It's either supreme arrogance that you've not spoken to anyone else or taken any sort of advice or not worked with him before or looked at what he actually does, or you think, oh, I'm the man, I really believe him, he can really turn around, he's just been really unlucky. It doesn't make any sense. I understand he's had spells here and there where he's done okay, but it's never lasted that long and he's just not very good.
If he goes to West Brom, he won't even have to move. Could happen.
Yeah, there you go. Get him in.
Everybody thinks they can turn Balotelli round. Everyone thinks
that's
they can
the right. That's the thing, isn't it? That's what underpins everything.
Arrogance. Gary Monk turn Birmingham City around?
And I will admit that a lot of my ire for him comes from when he let Matt Ritchie leave Portsmouth.
Yeah, right.
And said he's no better than what we've already got.
Yeah,
and he's now playing, starting in the Premier League.
That's why. There you go.
No, but he is a shit manager.
The vendetta.
Yeah. It's not.
Oh, it sounds a lot like a vendetta.
It's not a vendetta if it's true.
You hate Steve Cottrell. You hate Cottrell. Pete hates
Marcus.
Everyone.
Cahill.
Marcus. If Steve Cottrell was doing the job that Pochettino's now doing at Spurs, you would then be able to say, well, you've just got a vendetta against him, and that'd be fair enough. But he is terrible.
Yeah, he's terrible. You say he's terrible, and that also goes alongside with your vendetta.
We've got him next week on the Ramble Meet. So.
He'll be tied to a chair and asked to explain himself.
I don't think Jim doesn't have a vendetta. Pete, as I say, you hate
Tim Cahill.
Carlos Tevez is your one.
I don't like Tevez. And I never liked Neil Shipperley, and I never understood why.
I'm going to worry yourself about that. Well, I mean, because I'll tell you what, if you want more than one, I've got loads.
Yeah, true.
Well, it's special.
If you're talking about former beefy Southampton strikers, James Beattie will be in Monk's backroom staff. So there you are.
Well, there you go.
There you are. Fulham. Let's talk about the joint highest scorers in the division, shall we? Mm. With Wolves, of course, in the Championship. They're flying Mitrovic with another goal.
Move on. Have you been on Twitter sort of saying that that we were always having a laugh at Mitrovic?
No.
One person wasn't having a laugh at Mitrovic.
Yeah. We were having a laugh at that person saying he was the new Alan Shearer. Yeah.
One person was very much besotted by Mr. Mitrovic.
I've always seen him as a good player, but just a bit unpredictable. Pete, you're the one who embarrassed yourself about him.
I think he's... destined for good things.
Pete said he's a right raggy bastard.
Yeah. He's a right raggy bastard.
And that's what we all agree with.
But he'll probably score 15 in the league, in the Premier League next season with Fulham, I expect.
Indeed, yeah. Ryan Sessegnon got Fulham's Willer. What a player. Mm. Get him on that jet.
No, stop this. Slavisa Jokanović. Don't Walcott him.
Jokanović is saying this.
And you're adding to it.
Well, I'm just echoing the thoughts of the magnificent man who's on his way to taking Fulham back to the Premier League.
A lot of echoes at Fulham.
Patrick Bamford.
Bammers.
Let's talk about him.
When did he get a chance in the Premier League?
Well, scored a hat-trick for Middlesbrough on the weekend. 3-0 win against Leeds. I love this. Some players are just so suited to a specific place, a specific club.
And if they're young, it sort of disguises that.
Yes.
Perhaps like the Nuge. Maybe he's an example of that.
He's Patrick Bamford is a new Darren Huckabee.
Maybe.
Darren Huckabee, the most expensive. Was it the most. Remember they did that US kind of feature on Darren
Huckabee? Oh, it's called the greatest goal ever. According to the internet, it's called the greatest goal of all time.
For Norwich.
Yeah, one of. Bamford, I mean, there's nothing wrong with banging in the goals in the Championship. My goodness.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, well done. Six goals in three games for Bamford. Him and Adama Traore linking very well.
Lovely.
Indeed. Oh, hang on. Before we go to a break, let me just say we've got a Sol Campbell update.
Nice.
Stay tuned. Let's have that break.
Was that a tease? Was that a tease across the break, Marcus? Wow.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I also smoke exhaust pipes.
I love it. No doubt. Yeah, Sol Campbell update then. He's waiting to hear back from Grimsby Town. This is when, of course, last week we spoke about this. Grimsby said that that they hadn't heard from Sol Campbell.
Right, okay, yeah.
So Campbell got a bit ahead of himself, chipped off.
Yeah.
Grimsby went, all right, we'll get involved. Mm-hmm. And Campbell went, oh yeah, all right. It was like a massive game of management chicken.
Yeah.
Now it's gone. And who's blinked first here? Sol.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised to hear that.
Yeah, Sol Campbell has bought his fax machine.
Yeah.
And so if anyone wants to, send a fax. No,
Sol Campbell's gone.
Fax machine.
He's gone to Arsenal. Arsenal, you borrow theirs for a couple of days.
But I'm Sol Campbell's fax machine, says the fax machine.
You've got to put some paper in it. But I'm Sol Campbell. You've still got to put some paper in it.
Do you know how to work this? I'm one of the greatest minds in football.
Yeah.
But do you know how to work it?
Yeah. You don't talk through a fax machine, yeah. Sol. Well, that update was very important, so we needed to get that out. But before we go on, the preview show sponsored by Bet365 will be out on Thursday. How did our better get on, Luke?
Let's just say I would not like to be in the Rodden household at the moment.
No.
Because dad of Tom Rodden, Mark Rodden, failed where his son also failed.
Sins of the fathers.
Yeah, the things apple are... never falls far from the tree.
The things are rotten in the state of...
They are.
Rodden. The Roddens.
Hugely difficult times over over at the Rodden household. I heard, though, on the grapevine, possibly on Twitter, there's another brother, though. So right. maybe... He could step up on Friday.
Mark Rodden said his dad, presumably the Rodden granddad, is getting his bet ready. And I hope that's real.
That'd be brilliant. That'd be amazing. In my mind already, he looks like the crazed granddad.
Oh, yeah. Cannonball Lee, Bramble favourite. Google it. You will not be disappointed.
Check out on Friday for another better, because our best bet of Bet365 fell by the wayside because the Rodden family are cursed.
Yeah. The downtrodden Roddens.
Maybe mum can get involved.
Maybe mum can get involved.
Absolutely. Back to former England players plying their trade in management, or at least trying. One of Sol's former teammates, David James, current boss of Indian Super League side Kerala Blasters. Sol should get himself out there.
Lovely, lovely part of the world.
Steve Cotterill should get himself out there.
Among their rank, among the Blasters' ranks, they have three former Manchester United players: Wes Brown. What's so funny about that? Champions League
I know
winner.
What you're going to say next, and I was thinking it's a bit of a stretch calling him a Man United player.
Paul Rutschka.
Yeah, he's played one game, didn't he, or something?
Former Man United player, mate.
He also played for just about every team in the Football League.
Yeah, he's had a real career. He's probably played more than one game, but I think he only ever played one league game. But he's had an amazing career. The thing is, and I don't mean to sound snobby at all, because if I'm being completely honest, if I was a footballer at a professional level, but I wasn't amazing.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have that sort of career?
Of course.
You go experience lots of different things. I'm not denigrating that at all.
Just calm down with your vendettas.
Yeah. Rutschka. What a target that would be.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I really hate Paul Rutschka. Yeah. No one hates Paul Rutschka.
As fair as Neil Shipperley.
Yeah, true.
And Dimitar Berbatov.
Oh, he plays for him.
Dimitar. Well, now,
he's a proper player.
Yeah, exactly. Posted on Instagram, slagging off the manager. proper player. Proper
Definite.
Player.
Fag in his mouth.
The hashtags included, and this was obviously about David James, worst wannabe coach ever.
It's the wannabe in there.
Yeah.
Can I get some detail? Has he done that in Bulgaria and hope no one would notice?
No, it's in English.
Oh, no, good. In English, good.
Worst tactical advice. And then this one's particularly good. Chip the ball to the striker's chest and we take it from there. /WTF/ who plays like this?
Not you, Dimitar.
My favourite thing about this is the ages of the respective men involved. You can imagine this is like some 21-year-old kicking off on Instagram.
Yeah.
Dimitar Berbatov should know better than that.
He takes it seriously.
Didn't he write it in like kind of colourful letters on his own face?
Yeah.
Like as he was driving out of the training for the last time, effectively.
No, was it Doha Airport? He was on his way home.
He was on his way home. It was just some kind of picture. And it was just made me laugh that like he biffed off David James in word art form.
He's clearly not going back there. No, David James, the Blasters got James in, I think, a couple of months ago.
Right.
He was there for a while as player manager, wasn't he, a few years ago?
But he signed like a 3.5-year deal with him.
Yeah, didn't he go and play in Iceland for a bit for Herman Hrádus? He was in Iceland for a bit.
Yeah, it was all over the place. It's been a great week for former players kicking off. And one thing we missed in the Sol Campbell thing, he went on a big spiel about how ready he is to take a job. And within that, he said that he's willing to be humble.
Yeah.
Willing to be humble.
Give it a try.
In theory, at some point in the future, I could entertain the idea of showing some humility. I could see how it was possible. Oh. I'm not doing it at the moment.
I'll give it a go if it helps.
Just if it's what I need.
Didn't Bellas turn down the Oxford United job?
Craig Bellamy did, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't willing to be humble.
I think the chairman like dilly-dallied or something like that. And he was like, no, if you don't really, really want me.
That's what the Scottish Football Association did with Walter Smith.
Yeah, you see.
There you go. That's what happens.
Kendrick Lamar did.
with Walter Smith?
Kendrick Lamar and Walter Smith together at last.
What a combo.
And now it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for Going For Gold. Lord.
I thought I was going to be able to time that perfectly, but it didn't work. Never mind. Let's go for it. This comes from Jack McFarlane in Hither Green, a lovely part of the UK/London.
Hither Green? I feel like I should know where that is.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know where
the
that is.
End of London? The line before you get to Bromley North or South, something like that. Around that kind of way.
One for everybody.
Where
you've
got to change from Bromley to South.
Hey.
You were slagging off the rest of the UK
earlier.
No,
I wasn't. I was not.
He was off air, everyone.
He's on the right old goal. Right, so let's go for it. Thank you, Jack McFarlane in Hither Green. I was born on the 20th of December, 1978.
Stop. I'll just have a go at David Beckham.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
No.
No, okay. Sometimes I like to hide him in plain sight.
Yeah. Stop. James Beattie.
No. I made my career debut in 1995 for Racing FC. My last club was AEL, retiring in 2011.
Racing.
Is it Argentinian, though?
It might be
Racing, yeah.
Could be
That's the problem with clubs like that. They've got like 10 copies in like...
Foreigners, mate, you can't trust them.
Stop. Pablo Aymar.
I thought you were saying Luke, stop. Luke, stop, you're going to throw us off air. No, it wasn't Pablo Aymar.
Oh, it's nice to hear him.
Yeah, always.
Max is good for throwing in a name we haven't heard for a while.
Yeah.
Nice. I
stop.
Like it.
Ariel Ortega.
No.
Stop. H from Steps.
I won.
Guys, Kerr Mendieta.
Incorrect, no. I won a gold medal at the 2000 Olympics.
So that was Argentina, wasn't it?
I think it might have been. Yeah, I think that's Argentina. Okay.
Stop. Gabriel Batistuta.
Incorrect.
Stop. Gabriel Heinze.
Incorrect.
Oh, that's nice.
In between then, I played for a host of clubs, including Newcastle, Chelsea and Middlesbrough.
Ooh, daddy.
Stop.
Dude. Is it Christian Bassidas?
Oh, I didn't play for Chelsea. No, it's not. Well, again, enjoy hearing his name.
Yeah. Stop. Hernan Crespo?
Incorrect.
Newcastle?
No. I'll
take him now.
he'd get in the team now.
I collected 2 Champions League medals and 4 league titles.
Come on, Marcus. That's your neck of the woods, that.
What do you mean my neck of the woods?
Football royalty. Was he featured in one of the worst Champions League winners ever in the Acos?
You can't ask questions of going for gold. Gold.
So I think it's Newcastle, Middlesbrough,
and Chelsea.
Oh, should get it from that.
Yeah, I mean, I would.
I am not Andy Sinton.
Chalk him off.
Is that a clue?
Chalk him off then.
During an interview, Mourinho said about me, "In my team, I love to have this player on the bench because he's a low-profile player who's ready to help, ready to fight for the team, ready to do the job I want him to do. If I want him to play it right back, he can play it right back. If I need him to play right winger, he can play right winger. If I need him to pick up a man and mark him out the game, he does it."
I should know this.
This is
poor.
Is it definitely Argentina?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe not.
He plays for all these clubs though.
Final clue.
Stop.
Jeremy!
Yeah. Well done.
It's Jeremy. The final clue was Pearl Jam famously didn't write a song about me.
Oh, that would have got it from there, yeah.
Wow, so...
Jeremy spoke it.
So 2000 must have been when Cameroon won the Olympics. Then,
yeah. Wow, well, that got there in the end.
Well played, Jimmy.
Well, so, sort of.
When you had no faith in it. You stick out wrestling and then Olympic medals, you're starting to think Argentina straight
away. It's all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well done, Jack. Jack McFarlane.
Cheers, Jack. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
Well done, Jack.
I hope Heather Green is lovely and now snow-free.
Jim's on a hat-trick now.
Are you, Jim? Apparently he must be absolutely delighted.
I am beaming.
Absolutely delighted. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure we're all delighted that this is over. thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. Well, of course, the previous show will be out on Thursday. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
See you later, everyone.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.